This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. This Thursday, September 11th, also marks the 30th anniversary of the military coup that overthrew Chilean President Salvador Allende and installed General Augusto Pinochet, who ruled the country for 17 years. In 1970, Allende became the first democratically elected socialist president of a Latin American country. The Nixon administration, which perceived the socialist president as a threat, covertly worked to overthrow him and then supported the brutal Pinochet dictatorship. That secret history is revealed in over 24,000 recently declassified documents. Those documents are analyzed and many are reproduced in the new book, The Pinochet File, by Peter Kornbluh. He directs the Chile Documentation Project of the National Security Archive, a research library of declassified U.S. government documents. A little later, we'll hear from Jack Devine, who was a CIA agent stationed in Chile at the time of the coup. A few days after Allende was elected president of Chile, the CIA sent out a cable which read, "The key is psychological warfare. The fuel for the fire must come from within Chile. The station should employ every stratagem, however bizarre, to create internal resistance." I asked Kornbluh to describe some of the ploys and bizarre strategies.
In the 6 weeks following Salvador Allende's election on September 4th, 1970, at the orders of President Richard Nixon, the CIA attempted essentially to transform Chile from a country of tranquility into a country of turmoil. That was done through a number of mechanisms, planting propaganda in the press, alarmist propaganda, of course, that communists would come to power, children would be taken away. Contacts were made both through the CIA and American corporations in Chile and through officials in Washington with economic interests that were based in Chile, trying to get them to announce that they were pulling out, that they were going to leave Chileans unemployed because of Salvador Allende's election. Multiple contacts were made between the CIA agents in Chile and potential coup plotters, Chilean military officials who would move against the government. More than 24 meetings were held. A team of what they called false flaggers, the CIA's term for deep undercover agents, who were flown into Chile and met with the leading coup plotters. And a plan was developed to actually kidnap the Chilean commander-in-chief of the Chilean armed forces who opposed a coup, who was a strict constitutionalist. $50,000 was passed to a group that was supposed to conduct this kidnapping. It's a very complicated history about what happened, but in the end, the kidnapping turned into an assassination. And instead of creating the opportunity for a coup, in fact, Chileans, horrified by this political violence, rallied around Salvador Allende. He was ratified as president by the Chilean Congress and took office on November 3rd, 1970.
Now, you mentioned this, the assassination of General René Schneider, the constitutionalist who was the commander-in-chief of Chile's armed forces. Well, just one little kind of bizarre sidebar here. You write that the State Department didn't really know the extent of what the CIA was doing to try to overthrow Allende, and the State Department drafted a letter to President Allende saying, "Dear Mr. President, the shocking attempt on the life of General Schneider is a stain on the pages of contemporary history. I would like you to know of my sorrow that this repugnant event has occurred in your country. Sincerely, Richard Nixon."
That document is one of the most ironic documents from the 1970 period to ever have been written. And the truth of the matter is that the president told the CIA director, Richard Helms, that this should be a very tightly held operation, that the U.S. ambassador should not be told about it. This was top secret, compartmentalized, this particular coup plot in the fall of 1970. There was a CIA task force set up to run it. It worked night and day to try and promote a coup because of constant pressure from the Nixon White House. And part of what we've learned from the declassified documents is that the CIA had much more involvement in this kidnapping attempt gone awry than previously known. After Schneider was shot, with Richard Helms, the CIA director's authorization, CIA headquarters sent a cable to the CIA station commending them on this operation. The cable states, "The station has done excellent job of guiding Chileans to point today where a military solution is at least an option for them. The chief of station and others are commended for accomplishing this under extremely difficult and delicate circumstances." These are documents that I think are revealing, and they shed significant light on an episode that still resonates today in Chile and in the United States.
The U.S. had tried to prevent the inauguration of Salvador Allende after he was elected. When that attempt failed, did the CIA change its tactics in trying to change the course of politics in Chile and overthrow Allende?
The declassified documents are extraordinarily revealing on what happened after Schneider was assassinated. Allende was confirmed by the Chilean Congress and inaugurated as president of Chile on November 3rd, 1970. We know from the declassified documents that Henry Kissinger pushed Richard Nixon to convene a National Security Council meeting and basically lay down the law to the rest of the U.S. foreign policy establishment on what U.S. policy should be. Kissinger sent Nixon a set of briefing papers on November 5th, 1970, the day before this meeting, warning him that he faced a momentous decision that would have critical implications for the future of U.S. foreign policy. This was really a kind of an exaggeration of the threat that the United States faced. But Kissinger warned Nixon that the State Department was willing to live with Allende, and that if Nixon didn't make it clear to everybody that he opposed Allende, wanted to hurt Allende and bring him down, that there would be a drift towards a modus vivendi with Allende.
What does modus vivendi mean?
It means to arrive at a state of coexistence with another country. And this meeting was held the next day at the National Security Council. The president did make it clear that the policy was to hurt Allende. It was going to be done in a very careful way so as not to alert the world that the United States was trying to undermine a democratically elected government. A few weeks later, Henry Kissinger, working with the CIA, presented Nixon with a 5-point covert operations plan to, quote, keep Allende from being able to consolidate his government, unquote.
What were some of the propaganda projects that the United States backed or initiated in Chile to try to discredit Allende?
Well, the CIA ran a number of propaganda projects. They had a significant propaganda operation which focused on financing Chile's leading newspaper, El Mercurio. The CIA already knew that the owner of El Mercurio, Augustine Edwards, was avidly in favor of a coup in Chile. Edwards had come to the United States right after Allende's election and met with CIA Director Richard Helms and discussed the issue of trying to foster a coup in Chile. We have a declassified memorandum of conversation of their meeting now. Richard Nixon, the President of the United States, personally authorized the expenditure of $1 million to bolster El Mercurio in Chile in 1971. Presidents do not often micromanage a covert operation, let alone the financing of a foreign newspaper. But in this case, because Kissinger and his aides were divided over whether to continue financing the paper, Nixon did weigh in, and Kissinger called the CIA and said, yes, put that $1 million in there. Over the course of the 3 years, more than $2 million was spent to bolster this newspaper. So that was one aspect of the propaganda project. The CIA put a number of Chilean journalists and editors on the payroll. They sponsored the creation of a number of small radio stations, mimeographs. There was quite a significant propaganda project, and we spend time talking about it because even though U.S. officials have denied that the United States played any direct role in the coup of September 11, 1973, we do have declassified CIA internal memoranda which say that their propaganda project, quote, helped set the stage for the coup of 11 September 1973.
So your reading of the documents is that the CIA wasn't directly involved in the coup per se, but it just tried to create an atmosphere that made the coup possible.
I conclude in the book that the United States, both overtly and through the CIA covertly, actively attempted to create a climate in which a coup was possible in Chile. The CIA, in the end, did not directly participate in the coup, meaning being directly involved in planning with Chilean military officers, offering equipment and money and guarantees, etc., for three reasons, which I don't think I really understood. I don't think we really understood until these documents were declassified. Very quickly, the first reason was that the CIA didn't believe that conditions were propitious for a coup until the end of August of 1973, when the commander-in-chief of the Chilean Armed Forces, Carlos Prats, was removed and General Pinochet replaced him. The second reason was that the CIA was under scrutiny in the United States for having collaborated with the IT&T Corporation in the fall of 1970 in covertly trying to keep Allende from taking office. The columnist Jack Anderson had broken the story using internal IT&T papers of CIA-ITT conspiracies to block Allende. There was the Senate was actually holding hearings in mid-1973, and CIA officers were being called up to testify for the very first time, really, in the agency's history. And so CIA officials were extremely cautious about being clearly and directly involved with coup plotting while that was going on back in Washington. And the third reason, which draws on the second, is that the CIA had determined that direct U.S. support for the coup was not necessary for the coup to succeed. And since it wasn't necessary for the coup to succeed, the risks of exposure in undertaking it weren't really warranted.
I'd like to ask you to choose one of the many documents in this book that you think is most revelatory and read an excerpt of it for us.
I think one of the ones that is most revealing is a transcript of a conversation between Henry Kissinger and Augusto Pinochet on June 8, 1976. And the reason this secret transcript is important is because Kissinger wrote about this meeting in the third volume of his memoirs and cast the meeting in a certain way. He said he had talked to Pinochet about human rights issues and about democracy. And we now have the transcript of that meeting, and I republished it in the book. And it makes it clear that really Kissinger passed over the issue of human rights and democracy. He didn't mention the word democracy at all in the meeting, by the way. And to the degree he talked about human rights, he talked about it because the U.S. Congress was, he said, forcing him to address this issue. And even though we have the documents, the briefing papers for him, which tell him, do not go in and give Pinochet platitudes, etc. You have to be very, very clear with him. Otherwise, he will come away from this meeting thinking you support him. At the end of this meeting, Kissinger was very clear with Pinochet. We want to help, not undermine you, he says. You did a great service to the West in overthrowing Allende. Otherwise, Chile would have followed Cuba. Then there would have been no human rights. And here he is talking to someone 3 years into the Pinochet regime who's ultimately responsible for the most egregious acts of human rights violations that the Southern Cone had seen to that point. Kissinger knows this full well. You have the ability to understand the way policymakers talk to dictators like Augusto Pinochet and really what they thought about them in the end.
You say in the book that Pinochet was brutal right from the start. He initiated a series of massacres that came to be known as the Caravan of Death. You say the United States intelligence knew about these massacres. What did it do in response? What was its reaction?
We have the CIA cables reporting from the day of the coup onward on the atrocities that were taking place. There was so much bloodshed in the days following the coup, Terry, that the CIA sources couldn't even accurately count it. And you had CIA cables dated 3 or 4 days after the coup coming up from Santiago saying that a source had said that 4,000 people had been killed in the first week following the coup. Another source reporting a week later that 2,000 to 10,000 civilians had been killed in the first 10 days or so following the coup. And eventually the CIA did intercept a secret report that was given to Pinochet on the actual figures. It showed about 1,400 to 1,500 people killed in the first 3 weeks after the coup, at least 320 to 400 of them summarily executed. From the very start, it was clear from intelligence reporting, as well as from reporting in papers such as the New York Times, that this was a brutal regime. There's one extraordinary document I came across, which I'll share with you, which is a secret transcript of Henry Kissinger meeting with his staff at the State Department on October 1st or 2nd, I believe, about 3 weeks after the coup. And his assistant secretary for Latin America comes in and says, you know, I'm testifying before Congress, and they're asking me about these atrocity stories that are appearing in Newsweek and the New York Times. I mean, can it be true, these extraordinary figures of how many people have been killed? And Kissinger responds to his entire staff. He says, I want our policy to be clear. However bad this military government behaves, it is better for our interests than Allende's was. And that was the policy that was pursued, an embrace of Augusto Pinochet after he took power, irregardless of the vast human rights atrocities he was committing.
When Pinochet was basically voted out of office, had the United States already turned against him? Did they want to keep him at that point? Or was it... Did the U.S. government and the CIA consider it in its best interest to let him go?
Let's just go back to the beginning of the Pinochet dictatorship. Pinochet ruled in Chile for 17 years. His regime was renowned for human rights violations. U.S. intelligence repeatedly compared his secret police to the Gestapo in secret cables to Washington. For the first 3 years of the Pinochet era, which was the end of the Nixon administration and the 2 years of the Ford administration, U.S. policy was to support Pinochet. And Kissinger really oversaw this policy. We tried to send as much military aid as we could. Eventually, the American public and the U.S. Congress got so outraged that Senator Kennedy led a campaign to pass laws that would restrict aid to Augusto Pinochet. It was in September of 1976 when Augusto Pinochet and his secret police sent agents to Washington to commit an act of international terrorism, the car bombing that killed former Chilean ambassador Orlando Letelier and an American colleague, Ronnie Carpen Moffat, in downtown Washington, that U.S. policy was forced to start to change. This corresponded with Jimmy Carter's administration, which was much more focused on human rights. When Ronald Reagan was elected and became president, he embraced the Pinochet regime once again and removed the human rights issue from the bilateral relations with Chile. But by the beginning of his second term, it had become clear to Reagan's aides that Pinochet was becoming an albatross for U.S. policy. U.S. support for him was compromising efforts to get Congress to pass aid for the CIA's covert war in Nicaragua and military aid for the militaries in Salvador and Honduras. Reagan was being accused of a double standard in supporting Pinochet, but then supposedly working to promote democracy through the Contra War in Central America. And frankly, Pinochet was becoming another Somoza. He had been there for almost 15 years at that point. He was still committing atrocities. He was not letting the middle-class parties, the moderate parties, have any space. And the situation was radicalizing. The Communist Party was becoming much more active. There was guerrilla groups starting to reemerge in Chile. All the left that Pinochet, with the United States support, had tried to eradicate was reemerging. And so the Reagan administration did change its policy in 1986 towards Pinochet and started pressing him to hold a plebiscite. The Reagan administration did gain intelligence that Pinochet planned to violently abort this plebiscite if he appeared to be losing, and to remain in power. And the Reagan administration's, to its credit, the documents show, very aggressively worked with other countries, worked with all its contacts in the Chilean military to blow the whistle on Pinochet's plan. And even though he tried to implement this plan, by that time the rest of the generals refused to go along with him, and he was removed. To the credit of the Chilean public for voting him out of power under very, very difficult circumstances, and to the credit to the Reagan administration for the contribution it made at that point.